All right, my friends. Well, it is good to be here. As you know, we've been going through this series called Hope to the Scattered, and it's based on this kind of premise that God gave me, where it's like, if we had a guest speaker, who would you want it to be? Any guest speaker that could show up, who would you want it to be? What if it was Peter? What if the Apostle Peter showed up to preach to us today? And the glory of this is that we get one of his letters, so in essence, he is preaching to us today. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the term, but the style of preaching that I do is called expository preaching. And the reason that I do that is because expository preaching only wants to say what the person who wrote the section of Scripture is saying. So the opposite would be, well, this is what I think the Scripture means, as opposed to this is what it means. And today I bring that up because it's a very un-American section of Scripture. Not only is it un-American, it doesn't sit well with our experiences with submission. So today is going to be much more preaching to the mind as opposed to the heart. And the reason is because it's such a sensitive subject. You know, he talks about submission to the government head. It would be Trump. You know, some of you may be like, cool, I'll submit to him, but what if it was Biden then? What if it was Kim Jong-un or Hitler? It gets a little complicated when you start thinking about those things in reality. It's going to talk about submitting to law enforcement. As I was driving here, I looked down at my speedometer and it said 75. And I thought, am I submitting to law enforcement as I drive? Okay, it's kind of what I thought about. A couple weeks, we're going to talk about submission in marriage. Wives submit to husbands. That's always a fun one to talk about. Submission of employees to employers. We're going to be talking about the section in Scripture that American Christians used to justify the African-American enslavement. And we need to see, was there an error with that? Or is that really the good stuff? And we're going to talk about submission and how we don't submit to people based on how good they are, but based on how good God is. So I'd like for us to be really attentive over the next few weeks. Attentive to the Holy Spirit, attentive to our own personal cultural reaction to this topic. And specifically, I'd like for you to really think about your own heart as we go through these things. You know, think through, like, how is this rubbing me? Is this hitting me in a different way? One of the great things about teaching through a section of Scripture where you have to do every verse is you have to do every verse. And a lot of times, as pastors, you come upon a section that you wish you didn't have to do. And some of these sections are sections that I don't necessarily enjoy doing because they're so controversial, but we have to do it anyways. Amen? All right. We're going to start in 1 Peter 2, verse 13. It starts with saying, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Submit. There's two different types of words, two different definitions of this. Remember, the Old Testament and the New Testament are not written in English. So when you take what this is written in Greek, it's written, the word submit is a Greek military term meaning to arrange under. Now, in a non-military use, it's a voluntary attitude of giving in or cooperating or assuming responsibility or carrying a burden. You know what image came to mind of the perfect example of submission? You're driving on the freeway, and someone is tailgating you. And they want your spot. Submitting to that would be getting out of the way and letting them pass. Okay? That's what that means. It doesn't mean they're better than you. It doesn't mean you're better than them. It's just allowing them to go before you. Think submission. Anytime you let someone have their way, in a sense, is submitting to them. So who are we to submit to? What does it say? Verse Verse 13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to what? Every human authority. Just the good ones? How about the ones we agree with? How about the ones we've always agreed with? How about the ones that never hurt me? Isn't that interesting? Submit yourselves to every human authority. Think of how many human authorities we submit to without even thinking about it. You got mediators on websites, moderators on forums or apps. Every time you stop at a traffic light, you're submitting to someone. You're submitting to the people who put it in there. No one debates whether or not they should stop at a red light. You think of if you go flying, you submit to TSA. You submit to the rules of that. Parental authority. Sports teams. You submit to your coaches. Educational systems, teachers, principals, school rules, gradings, classrooms, expectations. Students don't vote on assignments. They submit to the grade that they've been given. Everyday structure. Think about lines at stores or store policies or HOA rules in the neighborhood. Submission is a regular part of our life, regardless if we see it or not, because the truth is that God created authority and submission. Romans 13:1 says there is no authority except that which God has established. That means God created authority, or you might want to say hierarchy, because God's the highest. We're underneath Him. Obviously, sin corrupts that. But just as laying the foundation of this, we need to understand that this is God's idea. So He says, submit yourselves. Yourselves in this context is the scattered Christians in modern day Turkey. It's also the scattered Christians in modern day Bay Area. Northern California, West Coast, United States. It's the scattered Christians on earth is the context of this. So He says, submit yourself for the Lord's sakes to every human authority. Now, I got to emphasize this again, because a lot of times we feel like it's easier to submit to God's authority than to human authority, because human authority is fallible and God's authority is infallible. Now, that's true until we get to something that we don't want to, one of those kryptonite sin issues. But what it really comes down to is it doesn't say submit yourself to the authority that God approves. It says submit yourself to every human authority. If you submit yourself to God's authority, you submit yourself to the ultimate, eternal, perfect, wonderful authority. But to human authority, it's flawed, it's earthly, it's temperamental, it's imperfect. Christians, we are required by God to submit ourselves to every human authority. In other words, biblical submission isn't optional. And you might be thinking, okay, that's fine, but what about in light of a corrupt government? What about in light of those? As Americans, the first thing that we usually think about when we go through the section is, yeah, but didn't the apostles sometimes rebel against, you know, they rebelled against the Pharisees, or didn't Jesus rebel against the Pharisees? That's because as Americans, we tend to be, rebellious? It's just kind of, it's in our DNA to be that way. So it's really, really, really important for us to understand that biblical submission isn't an option, and we don't do it because the human authority deserves it. We do it for the Lord's sake. In other ways, we do it because the Lord says so. That means we submit to every human authority because we trust the Lord's design more than we trust being right. You know another way of saying this is? Christians should be law-abiding citizens. In other words, Christians follow the rules. So it says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. And then for the rest of the next, you know, the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how he defines those aspects of authority. Not all of them. But the first one is the emperor as the supreme authority. Obviously, the emperor of the Roman Empire was the head honcho over Rome. And in Peter's day, do you know who it was? Nero. Nero was a bad, bad dude. Nero was an evil man. Nero was the guy, the first guy in the history of Rome who systematized the destruction of the Christians in Rome. One of my favorite old chestnuts of Nero is because he told everybody that the Christians created this one big fire, he decided to use them as a fire, literally. So he would put them on a big pole at the top of it, and then douse them in oil and set them ablaze to light his gardens at night. This is a fact. Peter's saying, submit to Nero. Do you know who Peter died under? Boy, how counterculture is this? How upside down is this? What is at the heart of this? Submit to the emperor. I said, Nero was not the kind of emperor you'd least want to submit to. Even under that kind of ruler, Peter is saying, Christians are called to submit as to the Lord. Now, what does it mean for us today? This is easy for us today because politically we have people in office right now who people usually feel very strong about, either one way or the other, whether it's Trump or Biden or Obama or Bush or whatever it is. And depending on your political leaning is going to depend upon your like or dislike for them. And the more we dislike them, the less we want to submit to them. So some people there are like, Trump's great. Yeah, he's a bit of a loose cannon, but he's great. He's doing the things we want to do. Some people said the same thing about Biden. Regardless of what we think about them, we are still called to submit to them. Why? We do it unto God, as unto God, because that's what God says. Does it mean we agree with everything that they do? No. Does it mean they're better than us? No. Does it mean, what it means is God told me to submit to the President of the United States, so I'm going to submit to him. Or whoever it is. Now you might say, well, what about civil unrest? What about, peaceful protests? We'll talk about that next week. But it's important for us to understand that God's expectation is that we submit. Every human authority, including the emperor or the president. Now there's a second human authority that comes up, verse 13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to human authority, every human authority, whether to be emperor as to the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him. Who's him? What do you guys think him is? The emperor or God? Isn't that interesting? I think it's ironic that God provides leadership, God provides organizations and government, and so whether or not it's sent by the emperor, it's still sent by God, who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to command those who do right. So That would be in the New Testament. Remember that the Roman world had enslaved, but they said, of course, Pax Romana, we're going to bring you to freedom. Yay. And so all of these different places, including Turkey, where Peter is talking to the people, and then he assigns the ruling of these different areas to these different people. Their jobs are to enforce law and order, to maintain peace, to administer justice, punish wrongdoing, to collect taxes. Think of the governors in Jesus' time under Rome. Think of Herod the Great. Good guy or bad guy? Not so good. Remember, Herod the Great is the guy when the Magi said that unto you a king will be born. He's going to be about 2 years old. What did Herod do? He ordered the killing of all male children, two years old and under, in Bethlehem. This is a bad dude. Think of Herod Antipas, ruled Galilee and Perea, executed John the Baptist. This is the guy who during Jesus' trial, he's like, hey, Jesus, do a miracle. Come on, do it. You can float. Oh, can you do that? And Jesus didn't say anything. Sent him back to who? Another governor, Pilate. Who oversaw the torture and the murder of Jesus. Peter is saying to us, submit to Pilate. Submit to Gavin Newsom. To submit to the congressmen and women. Submit to the Senate. Submit to the local and the state and the federal governments. Submit to the judges and the police officers. Submit to them for the Lord's sake, not because we agree with everything that they're doing. This is massive. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether they're emperor or as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those to do right. Verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. So it's God's will that we, the New Testament phrase is, live above reproach. That people aren't going to have something on us. Why? Because if they had something on us, then they could speak truthfully to our sinfulness. God is calling Christians to be law-abiding citizens, where we take obedience to the laws of the land seriously. Romans 13:1 again, listen. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Now, my mind goes, but what about this? But what about this? What about this? But what about this? And a lot of times we do that to the point where we just kind of get out of submitting to the leaders. Because we've just what-ifed it to death. No, but what abouts in this? We're called to submit. We need to understand that our actions when it comes to submitting in general and specifically to government authorities has a testimonial implication, a missional implication. What's the ignorant talk of foolish people? If I am literally a rebellious individual, their talk is going to be, this guy talks about obeying God, but he won't obey God when God says submit to the leaders. That would be truth, not foolish. But if I submit to the leaders, then I'm living such a good life among pagans and strangers that although they accuse you of doing good, they glorify God when he returns. Last thing in the world I want people to see when they see me is that I'm worldly, is that I'm joining the rabble. See, submissiveness. Now, remember, the context requires so much. In America, if we are to go and protest, that is a right of our government. So we can protest and not be in rebellion, right? Other countries, you can't. So much of it depends on the actual country and citizenship of where you are. How we obey God by submitting to every human authority has missional implications. So here's the question for us today. Today I just wanted to just lay the foundation for submission as being a spiritual discipline. Would you consider yourself a submissive person? Would your boss, your teachers? This is an important question. So this is what I would like for us to do as we start going through this. You may want to read the next couple chapters because it even gets harder. First thing I'd like you to do is examine your heart towards every human authority. It's so easy for us to point our fingers at bad leaders without pointing at ourselves as bad submitters. Someone once told me in leadership that if a man doesn't learn to follow, he should never lead. He must learn how to follow first. So your submissive heart will get tested when you have to submit to the government and the law enforcement and all those things. Submit to things that you disagree with, not when they always agree with you. What are some things where God might want to tune your holiness? Second thing, learn to reframe your obedience as act of worship. As I'm driving, if I realize that I'm speeding, then I slow down as an act of worship. I pay my taxes as an act of worship. I respect the law as an act of worship. I refrain from slandering leaders as an act of worship. I remember that I do this for the Lord's sake. This is so huge. Not because they're worth it. The question isn't, do I submit only to those who deserve it? And the answer is no. I submit to those who are in positions of leadership over me because God created leadership. And there are testimony implications to how I submit to them. It doesn't matter if they deserve my submission. What matters is that God gets glorified. The third thing that I think it's good for us to remember, one, is that this is missional. People are watching your response to politics, to authority, to law enforcement. If you're sitting around talking with people and everybody's talking bad about the president and you hate the government, you hate the president too, the fact that you don't say anything bad about this individual, they go, don't you like him too? I mean, don't you not like him too? He's terrible. And you just say, yeah, I don't like the things that he's doing, but he's over me, so I'm not going to slander him because God would consider that bad. I don't gossip. I don't slander people. But he's terrible. Yeah, but God is better than that. Why would he determine what I do? So think about this week. Why did God have us talk about this today. When you're tempted to resist others' authority over you, remember, Christ paid his taxes. Remember when you want to complain about government or law enforcement or something, remember when Christ was being insulted, he said nothing. When you're tempted to be rebellious, remember Christ obeyed God perfectly and submitted himself to God, even to death. And listen, Christ didn't submit to God because we're awesome. Christ submitted to God because God is awesome. We're the benefactors of that. Christ didn't submit to every human authority because they deserved it, but for the will of the Father. And now, he calls us to do exactly the same. Be in prayer this week and the next few weeks. This is a section of scripture that Satan always loves to get in and split the church over. Because we're going to talk about things like masking for COVID. And wives, submit to your husbands. And employers, submit to your evil bosses. It's going to get harder. So let's be in prayer over that. Amen. All right, let me close this in prayer. Father, any chance that we have to obey any of this is just because of you. So, Lord, we pray that thy will be done at our church as it is in heaven. I pray that we would take seriously the command to submit and the power and the missional implications of submission. Thank you so much for this day, Lord. Amen. All right, my friends, have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next week. God bless.